It ain't the left side or the right side, then it must be the fin side. It ain't the left side or the right side.
Good afternoon, Dolphins fans. Welcome to the On the Fin Side podcast with Kat and Paul. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, all of our social media outlets, as well as the Fansided Network and FinFanatic.com. I'm Brian Kett, NFL on Twitter. Paul is Fanatic underscore pick. It is week 17 of the NFL season, and this is where the Dolphins needed to be when they started out 1-7. They have climbed their way all the way back to be a winning football team. Now, with two games left in the season, they control their own destiny. Win both of these games for the Dolphins, and they're in. If they lose one of these next two games, it's very, very unlikely. There is a pathway, if the Dolphins do lose this game, to still getting into the playoffs, but it would be really hard. For them to win or to lose this game and still get in, the Dolphins would need this week the Colts to beat the Raiders and the Chiefs to beat the Bengals. So if the Dolphins do lose, which none of us hopes happens, if the Colts and the Chiefs win, the Dolphins are still alive heading into week 18. But then the following week, they would need four things to happen. They would need to beat the Patriots. They would also need the Bengals to beat the Browns, the Steelers to beat the Ravens, the Raiders to beat the Chargers, which isn't very likely. So the more likely or the easiest pathway here, Paul, win the last two games, be 10-7, and have a 9-game winning streak heading into the playoffs.
Just win, baby. Just win. I mean, it's as simple as that. And I mean, Shake said it best. It's like we're going to our ex-girlfriend's funeral going up against Tannehill this week, who is not the insurmountable Tannehill he's been for the Titans the past few years. It's, you know, he's got AJ Brown back. He might be missing Julio Jones. They don't have Derrick Henry. And A.J. Brown came back, and he is a very, very good wide receiver. He's one of my favorite wide receivers in the league, to be honest with you. But again, he came back and punked the 49ers going one-on-one with Josh Norman last week, who Josh Norman just has to have nightmares about the Titans. He probably walked into that game going like, all right, they don't have Derrick Henry. I'm good today. I'm not going to get pasted into next week by stiff arm after stiff arm. And he looked like he was playing scared. He was playing far too loose on AJ and just like he was afraid of him. And
there were a couple of guys that were on AJ Brown in that game. And yeah, I just watching that because the Titans look
real quick on that though. It's I know they had a couple guys on him, but the way AJ was playing him scared, I've never seen X play scared on anybody. Yeah, X played arguably one of his most aggressive games I've seen last week. We've got Byron Jones, who's playing fantastic football. Javon Holland is huge, helping out in that secondary. We might be without Brandon Jones, but again, it's Miami's secondary is such a strong point for him that if all they have is A.J. Brown tomorrow, I don't hate that matchup.
Yeah, they've got Nick Westbrook-Ikhine as well as their second guy, more of a kind of a scrappy slot player. Done pretty decent for him, but you know, third or fourth receiver type at best. I mean,
scrappy and decent, that's what we want.
Yeah, doesn't really inspire a lot of fear. But looking at where we are, as far so really not many injuries on either side, but you are going to have several starters on both sides missing or that are still on the COVID list right now. For the Dolphins, Brandon Jones and Adam Butler, you know, as far as the pass rush, there could be a little bit of an impact there, but I expect the Dolphins to be blitzing a lot. For the Titans, still on the COVID list, you've got Julio Jones, who really has been a shell of his former self this year, but still better than what they have after A.J. Brown. Danico Autry, that could be a big one. He's got 7-plus sacks this year as a 3-4 defensive lineman. He's not expected to play. Bud Dupree has 2 sacks over the last 2 weeks, was their big prized free agent signing, and is on the COVID list too. And also Buster Skrine, who we remember him from several years ago when the Dolphins played the Jets. He actually had, I think, 3 sacks in 1 game against Tannehill where the offense couldn't pick up the blitz to save their life and Tannehill couldn't see it. That could be big because now you've got Janoris Jenkins and Christian Fulton, that cornerback there. for the Titans. Neither one of them are incredibly fast or skilled at covering the slot. Fulton did a little bit of that last week, but I could see some big matchup problems here with Jaylen Waddle.
I could see them with Jaylen Waddle, and I could see them as well. One of the reasons why, when I looked back at the tape last week, Devontae Parker wasn't as big of a factor was they were doubling down on him and bracketing him down the field a lot. Miami ran him on a lot of deep routes, which it almost looked like they kept running him on those, thinking like, okay, as soon as they adjust to Jaylen Waddle and some of these short crossers we're running with him and you name it, then Parker's going to be open because they're going to have to peel somebody off him and he's going to be in one-on-one. And the Saints just never did. They just...
Right.
And so what Parker did last week had a huge impact for guys like Jaylen Waddle. And I think the Titans are a little aggressive. So you may see Byard helping out over the top to begin with some of the routes that Parker's running or Gesicki's running. But you're going to see them start to aggressively adjust to try to take away Waddle, I think, with how the Titans run their defense. And that's when you're going to see guys like Parker and guys like Mac Hollins getting that one-on-one. Tua will go deep in one-on-one. He absolutely will. And Gesicki getting deep on this defense. I mean, I know we got Albert Wilson back, but I'd rather see Hollins out there.
Right, yeah. It's when you look at the Titans at safety, Kevin Byard, they have a Pro Bowler back there, great player. He's projected to be matched up with Mike Gesicki, but if you get a situation again where teams are struggling to cover Jaylen Waddle's speed, and here we are, you know, at the beginning of the second quarter, and Waddle's already got five or six catches, yeah, you could see Byard rolling a little bit more over to cover Waddle, and that opens up, like you said, Gesicki and Parker deeper downfield. So, yeah, I mean, I look at the Dolphins on offense, and I've said this before, I don't think Tua has played great the last 2 weeks. He hasn't been terrible, but on this show, I graded him against the Jets at a C-, and last week against the Saints at a C. I mean, I look at the first half of the Saints game last week, and, you know, three drives I felt could have gone a lot better. I mean, the one in the first drive of the game where Tua misses, gets pressured, doesn't get rid of the ball fast enough, misses a wide open Myles Gaskin. You had the fumble on the field goal drive where, yeah, he was pressured and he was hit, but Tua saw the defender coming. You got to hang on to the ball. A couple more drives that you can't have in a game like against the Titans. The Dolphins, it's unlikely they're going to hold the Titans to 3 points. So they're – You can't have a whole first half where you're only putting three offensive points on the board. That's when things can start to get away from the Dolphins here.
It could. And one thing I Tua has not played spectacular the past few weeks, but I think he's played better than we've given him credit for. He's played into the system the way he's being asked to. And in reality, if you take and you – I know Tannehill's played 15 games this season and Tua's only played 11. But if you break it down to a game by game, Tua has Ryan Tannehill in every statistical category this season, except for a couple easily explainable ones. Tannehill's actually throwing more attempts per game and completing less than one more pass than Tua. But Tua's got him in completion percentage. He's got him in yards per pass. He's got him in touchdown percentage. He's got him in interceptions. He's got him in interceptions per game. The number of sacks that he's taking and the amount of yardage he's losing. It's crazy when you look down the board. He's literally beating Tannehill in every statistical category. And I'm sorry, but Tannehill's got better weapons in Tennessee, even though Julio Jones has been in and out, AJ Brown's been in and out. The running back position's probably a push as far as the season goes overall. Tua has been the better quarterback. He has done a great job of avoiding the sack. You look at the pass he threw to Durham Smythe last week. He avoided about four rushers and still managed to get the pass off to Smythe in a spot where only Smythe could catch it. I know he threw that bad interception last week, but he's averaging less than one interception a game as far as that goes. So it's not this doom and gloom horrificness as far as Tua goes, that, yeah, he's played less than what we've gotten accustomed to, but that's more a compliment to those good games that he had than it is to how he's played the last 2 weeks. They were absolutely playing safe last week against the Saints. You and I both know they were. Hey, Dolphins fans. The Players Tribune has launched its first ever mental health podcast called Blindsided, hosted by former NHL goalie Corey Hirsch and psychiatrist Dr. Diane McIntosh. This show will share the moments for a variety of athletes when everything changed for them and mental health became the most important focus in their lives. It allows listeners to have an understanding of the different types of mental health challenges that people face. Some of the guests this season include Kevin Love, Paul Bissonnette, and Kurt Warner. We encourage all you to go out, go to the Players Tribune, and check out the podcast, Blindsided.
That part is true. And at one point, after he completed that pass to Durham Smythe, I think he was, 14 for 16 at that point. He did, but there was that fumble, and there was that missed pass that could have kept that first drive going. Overall, I didn't think he played great, but he was playing a little bit on the conservative side too. And look, I'm very pleased with how Tua is playing this year. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I mean, he is the only quarterback in the NFL this year with over a 70% completion percentage. So he's incredibly accurate. And when the Dolphins get a better offensive line in front of him, he'll get even better. The statistics show that when he's kept clean, when he's not under pressure, I mean, he's insanely accurate from week to week. And we keep seeing that. So, well, this is going to be a test.
Another thing I want to add, too, is Tua is not credited with a lost fumble this year. I know there was a bad snap that got away that the other team recovered, I believe, early in the season. I think that was him. It might have been Brissett. But, you know, you look at Tannehill. Tannehill's lost, or he's fumbled the ball 9 times, lost 4 or 5 of them. It's the number of times. Like, it's crazy. He's leading or tied for the league lead as far as interceptions go. And he's tied with guys like Joe Burrow, who's a second year. Justin Herbert, second year. Taylor Heineke, who's a shifting in and out backup. Trevor Lawrence, rookie. You know, just ahead of Matthew Stafford, who's an interception machine. And surprisingly, Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. It's, you know, and then you've got Tua, who is well down there on the interception sheet as far as that goes. So, I mean, it's Tannehill's had a propensity to turn the ball over, and they haven't faced a lot of great secondaries. They have not at all. And going up against Miami with or without Brandon Jones, that's a tough road to hoe, especially, you know, if you're going to start trying to throw short ones with reigning defensive player of the month, Jerome Baker, in the middle of that defense.
Yeah, Jerome Baker. Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. Jerome Baker, defensive player of the month in the AFC, which part of me thinks, how many is there nobody? Was there nobody better this month than Jerome Baker in the AFC? And don't get me wrong, Baker's been fantastic the last couple of games. Now he's had I think 5 sacks last month. So He's starting to make big plays again. Kudos to him on that. Now, going back to the Titans offense, when they lost Derrick Henry, they immediately got 10 points per game worse on offense. And I have stats to back me up on this. In 2019, with Tannehill a quarterback, the Titans averaged 28.9 points per game in 13 games, including the playoffs. 2020, 29.6 points a game in 17 games. The first 8 games of this year, 28.4 points per game with Derrick Henry in the lineup. Last 7 games, no Derrick Henry, 18.6 points per game. I mean, and that shouldn't be a big surprise for us, because when Tannehill was a Dolphin, his best football happened when Jay Ajayi was churning out 200-yard game after 200-yard game.
Yeah, and I mean, just to put in perspective, and I know we brought this up before, how good Derrick Henry was this season. I'd have to take a look now, but as of last week anyway, he'd only played half the games of the season and was still 5th in the league in rushing. Good Lord. I mean, I still remember when he was going to be a free agent before he re-signed with Tennessee, and I talked about backing the Brinks truck up for this guy. And people were like, I wouldn't pay him less than $11 million a year. He's one-dimensional. Yeah, but it's a really good dimension. it's not just like, oh, yeah, he's a kind of good runner. Like, He's fifth in the league in rushing. And he played half the season.
Yeah, Henry had 937 rushing yards in 8 games. He would have been on pace to have his back-to-back 2,000-yard seasons, which I don't think that's ever been done. I could be mistaken on that. But, yeah, I mean, and since then, now we're going to – they're really – they are rotating the running backs a little more. Or they have been rotating the running backs. Deontay Foreman, who is a massive player, but kind of a looks like Tarzan plays like Jane type of guy. Jeremy McNichols is their third down back. And Dontrell Hilliard is actually a running back for them. I thought was really good when I've seen him. I think he's the best that the Titans have to offer. But overall, not great there at the running back spot. And
Before we dive too deep on the running back, I want to go back to one thing because it's kind of funny because it complements something that John Urich said in chat. John said that he can see the Dolphins getting at least 3 sacks tomorrow, which is Miami leads the league in sacks, and Ryan Tannehill has been sacked 3 times per game right on the nose. So it's looking at that and with the fact that they don't have a huge running game and they're going to be relying on A.J. Brown, I expect to see Tannehill beat up for probably more than 3 sacks tomorrow, given Miami's pass rush lately and given the fact that they already average getting sacked 3 times a game against mostly lesser pass rushes and mostly lesser secondaries.
I agree. And a lot of intelligent comments here in the chat. And John and Cap for Life, thank you very much there for the contribution. Someone said in chat, Irving said, see, this is why I don't do this, because I lose track of it here, is that the Dolphins need to get better at stunts. And that is a big concern there for when Tua drops back. But also said as well that Tua has no feel for the pressure. And that's it. He never has. But somebody else mentioned this in the chat. He is good against the blitz. When you do that all-out blitz, Tannehill is good at identifying that and getting the ball out. So what the Dolphins really need to do in this is, yes, show that cover zero look, but don't come with it all the time. I'm more comfortable the Dolphins sending 4 or 5 guys as opposed to sending 6 or 7. But the Dolphins on defense with Josh Boyer, they're pretty good at disguising those and diversifying, you know, their blitz packages.
So I want to park on that for a second, because that cover zero, if you start thinking of the Dolphins defense and the front seven as positionless like they've gotten back to, it's not always actually a blitz. It's most of the time, if you look at that cover zero, if you truly look, yeah, PFF will call it a blitz because one of the guys of the 4 that's rushing is a linebacker. But, you know, in traditional sense. But if you look at it as their front 7 guys, most of the time they're bringing 3 or 4 guys and dropping, you know, the rest. Like it's more so like, okay, we expect all you guys to be able to do some form of this. Okay, you may only be able to drop into zone. We're not going to ask you to cover a running back one-on-one in man, but they're really truly like it's just masking who's even in coverage and who your front 4 really are and who your linebackers really are for that individual play. So if you think of it in terms of that, it's not necessarily a blitz all the time. It's more so, hey, we've got these 7 guys on the line of scrimmage, and some of them are coming, some of them are not. We're not going to tell you who our linebackers are in this play. We're not going to tell you who our defensive linemen are in this play. Good luck. And so right. That's where it's a tough call for me, because if Tannehill's got to account for that, the best thing you can do for Tannehill is force him to think and not let him move the pocket. Because we all saw with Miami, when he got out to, you know, towards the sidelines, got out of the pocket, broke the pocket, moved the pocket over, that's when Tannehill was at his best. It's if we can prevent him from doing that, keep him in the pocket and make him think, he's toast.
Yeah, and he hasn't played well for the last really 2 months. I mean, and going back to what you said, and that's why I love this Dolphins defense as far as just the personnel and how they match that with the looks that they give. Because three things that they have on defense that I don't think a lot of other teams have. Number one is they have linebackers who can blitz, but they're also fast enough and aware enough to drop back into coverage when they don't blitz and still get to that spot. So they're covering a lot of ground, even when they're showing a blitz at first. Secondly, at cornerback, Xavien Howard and Byron Jones, in my opinion, the best cornerback tandem in the league. And they're able to play up on these receivers. And not only are they able to go heads up with these guys, but their technique is so good that they don't draw that many penalties either. And number three, Javon Holland back there. The range and the awareness he has allows the Dolphins to put another guy in the box as opposed to playing this too high safety look. So, no, I mean, I'm extremely excited with this defense. Yeah, I know they've played bad quarterbacks lately, and that's been the story this week, that they really haven't played anybody. And I go back to saying two things can be true. This defense has played great regardless of the opponent. And yeah, they have had an easy schedule the last 6 weeks. So that's also too why these next two games are important, Paul, because let's be honest, if the Dolphins win these two games, then they are for real. They're one of the most feared teams going into the playoffs because they have a 9-game winning streak. On the other side, if they lose these two, people are going to look at that 7-game winning streak and say, well, they didn't play anybody.
People can say what they want. I tell kids I coach, I tell Axe this all the time. It's the only way that what people say is true is if you let it be, 90% of the time. It's if nobody's digging at you for something, you never did anything. Like, it's, you know, it's one of those things where, yeah, they beat 7 NFL teams. You know, you can go up and down the list. You know, ask the Chargers what it's like to face a team with 20-ish players out or 20-ish people out. Ask the Chargers this week, because they faced a team that was already bad, already using shopping cart greeters and things like that at NFL positions, who had 20-something play or around 20 players out or on their roster, and the Texans smoked them. Like, it was almost like you won a chance to be on the field if you were in the top, you know, first 500 players in the stadium. They called your name beforehand and fitted you for something and threw you out there for the Texans, and they smoked the Chargers. The Chargers supposed to be an amazing team right now. So
you're right. And another thing that's true is that I don't care how your opponents look, it is hard to play 7 games in a row and not step on a landmine. Because every single game, you are 2 or 3 bad plays away from losing. And the Dolphins have not done that. They've taken advantage of that. I mean, yeah, you look at the Texans beating the Chargers. You look at the Jaguars beating the Bills. I mean, it's hard to win 7 games in a row. That's what, I don't know the exact math, but what, 40% of the season you've won? And then again, they lost 40% of the season too. But they have clawed their way all the way back. I mean, that's something to certainly be celebrated.
There's a reason why they're the first NFL team to go from 1-7 and have that 7-game losing streak to a 7-game winning streak. It is not easy to do, period. It doesn't matter who you're playing. It doesn't matter if you're playing 7 college teams. 7 in a row is a tough road to hoe.
It is. And for them to come away with their 8th win here, the defense has to continue to bring it just like they have for the last 7 weeks. And I look at the Titans offense, and like I said, without Derrick Henry, they just haven't been very good. Now, they missed A.J. Brown for a month too, and he came back last week and started to look like the A.J. Brown of last year. He wasn't even the same, didn't seem like, you know, in the first part of the year before he got hurt. But this is what I've seen over the last several games from the Titans is 3 out of 4 games before the 49ers game, 3 of their previous 4 games, they scored 13 points or less. They haven't scored over 20 points in their last 6 games. And last week, the 49ers were shutting the Titans out at halftime. The Titans came back and ended up winning 20-17. But kind of piggybacking on what you said before, it honestly looked like Kevin Coyle or Matt Burke was the defensive coordinator for the 49ers. It's like, how do you look at A.J. Brown catch, 11 passes, he has 2 other rushes, So he touches the ball 13 times. He had 16 targets in that game. How do you let this guy get a free release off the line, get into his route uninterrupted, not have a it's this Kevin Coyle like bail and trail technique, which is the reason AJ Brown caught so many passes. AJ Brown's a great player, but he's going to have Byron Jones and Xavien Howard in his face here this week.
Yeah, and Xavien Howard, I've talked about this before. It's one of the things I love with Xavien Howard. Xavien Howard seems to know his speed and your speed better than you do, better than the opposing quarterbacks do, and he will drop off of somebody to make them look open in way, and he knows Tannehill's arm probably better than any quarterback in the league. And after watching Josh Norman not just get beat by AJ Brown, but beat himself against AJ Brown and give him so much cushion and things like that, Tannehill's gonna walk out and go, Jesus, thank God AJ Brown bailed us out last week. See Brown look wide open, like he's got two steps on Xavien Howard, throw the ball, and then watch Xavien Howard cut in front of him and start racing the other way with the ball. Xavien Howard already does that well, and after last week where Tannehill was getting bailed out by Josh Norman's incompetence, it's going to look like more of the same at first. And if he underestimates Xavien Howard's closing speed, good for you, Ryan. Good for you.
Well, I think Roadrunner said it best in the chat. AJ Brown's a beast. He will get his. Just hit him hard and make him feel it. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be tough to completely shut down somebody like AJ Brown, but minimizing him to the point where if he's really their one of their only go-to options in this game, I mean, and you have no Julio Jones. He wasn't even playing well anyway. You have no Derrick Henry. Yeah, and that's what I like about what Josh Boyer does. He does his best to let either Byron Jones or Xavien Howard take away that receiver, or they make sure to bracket him so that the Dolphins are forcing you to beat them without your best players. And I look to see that a little bit more here in this game. Going back to the Dolphins on offense, Paul, like I said, you know, I'm looking for Tua to have a better game here than he has shown in his last two games. On the ground, the Titans are very, very good. Very good run defense. You look at the last six games for them, to opposing running backs, they've allowed 270 yards on 103 carries. That comes out to 2.62 yards a carry. So the Dolphins also faced a very good run defense last week against the Saints. Now, they didn't have a lot of success with Duke Johnson and Phillip Lindsay, but I think they were able to be successful enough to where they were getting 2-3 yards. They didn't have a lot of negative plays, and they were keeping everything balanced. And you look at the snap count too last week from the Dolphins running backs, 23 snaps for Duke Johnson, 20 for Miles Gaskin, 19 for Phillip Lindsay. So I'm hoping they continue to keep the fresh legs on the field and at least have enough to stay balanced on offense.
Yeah, and it's having the three of them, and this is something I've been saying since, you know, we saw Phillip Lindsay emerge and then Duke Johnson emerge. Ride the three, see who's got the hot hand in the moment, and continue to ride that till they start to fall off, and then see who can jump in and do it. This running game is not meant to dominate other teams. It's meant to assist the offensive line, and it's meant to just keep defenses off honest. And if they could ride the hot hand with that and do a little bit as well offensively, awesome. It just allows Miami to not have to deal with a defense that's just pinning its ears back. And
right. That's what we saw in the first, six or seven games, is that the Dolphins would get down and they would just throw the ball every down. And when you do that, especially playing behind a bad offensive line, these pass rushers just tee off on the quarterback. Doesn't matter who you have back there. And so I like the adjustments that they've made for, you know, everything we said about the Dolphins offensive coordinators. And we've still got some, you know, squabbles with that, but you know, they've done a good job at playing more to their strengths. When you look at it,
Before we move on from that, it's since you said the bad offensive line, I can't throw everybody on that O-line under the bus. And this is something we haven't talked about really yet. And I know we're not – we don't take PFF as gospel on our show. We've talked about that. And even less so when it comes to offensive line at times or occasionally defensive line. But it does speak volumes that – one of the top five graded players last week in all of football by PFF was a Dolphins offensive lineman, and it was Robert Hunt. Good Lord. Like, didn't expect to see that. Love seeing it. Robert's quietly having a better and better season and playing very well at that guard spot.
Absolutely he is, and he's getting better and better every week. And
he deserves a touchdown.
Heading into next season, I see Robert Hunt as a definite keeper. Michael Dieter, I think, has played well enough. If the Dolphins can upgrade the center position, great. But I'm not going to spend a lot of money or a first or second round draft pick to do it. I think Dieter's played pretty well. Mm-hmm. And I keep saying this too. They need to get two offensive tackles and push all of the rest of those resources into guard. Take if you come away in the offseason with Teron Armstead at left tackle, and let's say even a Morgan Moses at right tackle, who's okay, not great, but okay. And then on the interior, you've got Liam Eichenberg at left guard, Dieter at center, and Hunt at right guard. Then I think you've taken that offensive line from a D unit to maybe a B minus or a B.
Yeah. No, and I think that, and again, I made a comment back during our preseason stuff this year, actually our offseason stuff, that we all know Greer plays 3D chess. And I'm going to go back to that comment because looking at everything and looking at the big picture and looking at what Miami's got going into free agency this year, and I know I don't want to spend a huge amount of time on this because, damn it, we're a playoff team right now. But I think Greer had set up to basically throw a bunch of young players against the wall, see what sticks as far as offensive linemen, and be able to throw a ton of resources, if everything worked out, into the offensive line position this coming offseason. There's a ton of big names on the offensive line that are going to be free agents. Miami has a ridiculous amount of cap space. I can put it to you this way. Miami could cut Jesse Davis, cut a couple other players, re-sign Gesicki, re-sign Ogba, and still have $55-60 million potentially, depending on who they cut and who they don't, but still north of $50 million either way, to be able to mostly look at upgrading the offensive line.
Absolutely. Into the draft. Well said. I think that's exactly what's going to happen. And, you know, look, there's several draft picks that haven't played up to their – I mean, really, all of them, if you take a look at the totality of it. I mean – Liam Eichenberg hasn't been good enough. Austin Jackson definitely hasn't been good enough. But he has been better at left guard, but he still has those two or three mental errors a game. But he has shown the physical skills to play left guard. And if he fixes those mistakes, you never know.
Robert Hunt's been good.
Robert Hunt has definitely lived up to his billing. Solomon Kindley, just a weird thing going on there.
I don't get why he's not on the field still.
Yeah, I don't either. At least a little bit. I mean,
or Robert Jones.
Yeah. I don't know. The offensive line has definitely been playing better, but last week against the Saints, Eichenberg and Austin Jackson definitely did not get the better of that. Neither did Jesse Davis. And I don't see Jesse Davis being on the team after this year.
But he's gone.
Sticking with the offense too, there are a couple of matchups that do concern me here against the Titans. Is Kevin Byard going up against Mike Gesicki? You know, I think Byard has the skill set to get the better of Gesicki. Defensive tackle Jeffrey Simmons, who the Dolphins took Dolphins in the 2019 draft, they took Christian Wilkins over Jeffrey Simmons, who went just a few picks later, is a complete wrecking ball on the inside, and he's going up against this Dolphins interior line. He could cause problems, and he's a big reason why they've only allowed 2.6 yards a carry over the last six games to opposing running backs. And then also Harold Landry, 12 and a half sacks this year for the Titans. And they move him around. Liam Eichenberg's going to see some of him. Jesse Davis is going to see some of him, and he's the player that you do have to neutralize in this one. So even though the Titans have some players out, it's still a good defense that the Dolphins are facing. It's going to be a big test for them.
It is. And I just, I think Miami's got the tools to be able to be at least okay against this defense. Again, we need Tua to be efficient, control the football, and we need the running game to keep defenses honest, and we need Tua to take what's there. If we can do that, this defense that we have is going to more than keep us in this game. Tannehill's turning the ball over at an alarming rate, and they have one real weapon right now on their offense. Now, the Titans are a different team when they've got everybody healthy. But you can say that about a lot of teams in the NFL. Miami's a different team when they've got everybody healthy and not on COVID, not on IR. But I just don't see this Titans offense being able to get it done against Miami's defense. And that's what I think the big difference is here. I see Miami being able to be okay against their defense, but the Titans not being able to do much against ours.
I am equally concerned if the Dolphins offensively can move the ball on the Titans. And so I see this being an ugly, low-scoring type of game. And another concern of mine, too, is how is the weather going to be? Because if this
– chilly.
You know, chilly, but not as chilly as it was projected before. I looked a couple of days ago, and it looked like it might have been 25 and snowing. Now it's looking like it's going to be in the 40s, possibility of rain. So that's better news for the Dolphins because Tua doesn't have a lot of experience playing in those cold, messy types of games. So we'll see. Predictions. I'm going to give it to you first.
I think Miami pulls this off 21-13 until Sanders wakes up. I'm not factoring in field goal in this game. But I think Miami gets another defensive score this week. That's what I think of Miami's defense versus Tannehill right now.
Yeah, I'm going to have the Dolphins winning this too by a field goal. I'm going to go 20-17 Dolphins.
You're counting on Sanders. It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for you.
I've got a bigger problem with I honestly, I think it's Mike Pilardi. I think it's the holder. Because I don't think Sanders just forgot to kick. I some of those holds that I've seen when I've looked at them look a little bit off compared to Matt Hawk.
You know, I thought about that on one of them recently and thought about going back and looking. And then I decided to play Urban Meyer and just refer to them as kicker and punter and ignored it. So.
Got it. The Dolphins have... After the first eight games, had only 12 sacks on the year, one of the worst in the league. Now they're leading the NFL with 45 sacks. Ryan Tannehill has been sacked exactly 45 times. And he has not gotten better in understanding and feeling the pressure and getting the ball out in a timely manner. Well, yeah, he feels it after he gets hit. And yeah, that part I do not miss about Ryan Tannehill at all. And look, he wasn't terrible here, but he just so many times Tannehill would get the snap. It would be third and five at the Dolphins, own 45. He would take the snap. He'd pump. He could have walked his way to the first down, and he didn't do that. And then he would just throw a 2-yard pass to Jarvis Landry. It would be fourth and three, and then the Dolphins would punt. That pass last week that Tannehill threw like a 60-yard bomb to A.J. Brown, it was kind of like nobody's open. A.J.'s one-on-one downfield. I'm just going to heave it. That's the exact pass I wanted to see Tannehill make sometimes when he was here in Miami. He never did. Also, too, I've got to say Tannehill was playing the best football of his career in Miami when he tore his ACL in 2016, then re-tore it, then came back in 2018 and – missed several games and shouldn't have played the other ones with when he had that arm injury. But I'm glad Tua's the quarterback instead of Tannehill still.
I am too. It's like I said earlier, he's beating him in every statistical category. You look at Tannehill's numbers this year as far as getting sacked, interceptions, fumbles, you name it, and he's in a bad category to be in for a guy that was one of the tops in the league for a couple of years when he first got to Tennessee. He's in the same position as a lot of these rookies and second-year players or first-year starters. And that's not the category you want to be in all those awareness statistics. He's playing behind a better offensive line in Tennessee than Tua is in Miami. And yes, he's got a few injured players, but not the one. Like, it's just, it shouldn't be this bad as far as that goes. It just shouldn't.
Yeah, and I am of the belief, too, that if the 49ers did not let A.J. Brown run free in the secondary the entire second half when it was clear that was pretty much the only guy they had to stop, we'd be talking about the Titans heading into week 17 as one of the most inept offenses in the NFL this year.
They didn't cover A.J. Brown, and they beat him by three.
That's true. And the Titans at full strength with Derrick Henry at running back, without these players out with COVID, if Julio Jones were the Julio Jones of the last couple of years, I'd say this is a very dangerous team, and they are the number two seed. If the season ended today, it would be the Dolphins at Tennessee in the playoffs, and that's exactly what we're going to have here this weekend. I've got the Dolphins winning by three because I think – I don't see Ryan Tannehill having a good game here, and I think the Dolphins squeak it out. Paul, before we sign off here, Zach Thomas, third time is a Hall of Fame finalist, and I've said in the past that I've been saying for years he should be in the Hall of Fame. It's a joke that he isn't. In fact, I'd have to recheck to see if this is still current, but he was. 2 years ago when I looked, he was the only defensive player in NFL history that was Hall of Fame eligible to have five first-team All-Pro appearances and not be in the Hall of Fame. I think that's still the case. So this year, you don't have a lot of first-ballot, sure-thing Hall of Famers other than maybe DeMarcus Ware.
In honesty, if I were to throw my ballot down, and maybe this is something we should talk about tomorrow night, that'd be a fun one for us tomorrow night or sometime this week, is to throw down which five we would put in if it were us. Because I'll give you a sneak preview. I'd have two linebackers definitively on there as far as Willis and Zach Thomas go. I think they were both very special players at their position that should be in the Hall of Fame.
You bet. So Roger in the chat, I think he's a Titans fan. He said Tennessee before Tannehill in 2018 were 9-7, 2019, 2-4. Well, that's because you had a quarterback that sucked worse, Marcus Mariota, who is now a backup. So since then, yeah, Ryan Tannehill's done a great job as far as upgrading the position. But ever since Derrick Henry went down, no surprise to Dolphins fans, he's not very good. That's why he's 26th. Out of 30 quarterbacks in quarterback rating with quarterbacks more than 300 attempts. He's tied with Daniel Jones. Feel good about that. And we look forward to crushing him here this weekend. That's going to do it for our breakdown of the Dolphins versus Titans matchup. I'm Brian Catt, NFL. Paul is Fanatic_pick. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, all of our social media outlets, the Fansided Network and FinFanatic.com. And if it's not on the right side and it's not on the left side, it is on the Fin side.